time you are near, just like me, they long to be close to you.
One of my favorite movies is the 1987 rom-com Roxanne, starring Steve Martin and Daryl Hannah. The story, based loosely on the French play Cyrano de Bergerac, concerns Martin's character, the endlessly charming and intelligent C.D. Bales, trying to win the affections of Hannah's beautiful titular Roxanne. C.D. is everything a woman could want, except for one unavoidable physical blemish: his very, very big nose. Roxanne has the hots for another guy in town, Chris, played by Rick Rosevich, who has never needed much in the way of brains because his body takes care of everything else. As Chris puts it directly to CD, she wants someone who looks like me and talks like you. This leads to one of my favorite sequences in the film, where CD helps Chris seduce Roxanne by feeding him romantic dialogue and banter through a hidden microphone. Naturally, something goes wrong with the technology, and Chris is forced to improvise, which is not his strength. He quotes the lines, "Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near?" Roxanne, being no dummy, recognizes the song, and Chris backtracks, rather than claim songwriting credit for the famous hit. Somewhere in his alpha jock reptilian brain, Chris reached for the closest example he could find to modern romantic poetry, and he came up with The Carpenters. I've seen the movie probably 30 times, and I consider the parallels between CD's brand of poetry and popular 20th century songwriting. In this case, The Carpenters' tune was authored by the legendary duo of lyricist Hal David and composer Burt Bacharach. Bacharach passed away on February 8th this year, but in life he was one of the greatest musical composers of all time, and you can look at the list of awards and achievements to back up that claim. A multi-instrumentalist writer, composer, and producer, Burt stuck to the music half of songwriting, but his melodies were a far cry from the saccharine bubblegum pop hits of his generation. Instead, Burt channeled his love of jazz music, especially the influence of Dizzy Gillespie, to create a new breed of popular love song with unorthodox time signatures and melodies. His music created an atmosphere, a sense of place that he brought you to immediately, and then let the words, most often written by longtime collaborator Hal David, fill that place, that setting, with joy, whimsy, irony, and passion. Burt and his musical collaborators recorded more than 70 chart-topping hits in the US and UK. There's not enough time to cover all of them on this podcast, but my guest and I are going to spotlight a handful of personal favorites to share with you today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Fire & Water Records celebration of the songs of Burt Bacharach. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me, I am happy to welcome one of the hosts of the Batman Family Reunion podcast, a Fire & Water all-star, Mr. Sean Myers. How's it going, Sean?
Hello, all of you wives and lovers. It is going great.
So, after Burt died last February, I didn't say anything right away, but you shared a playlist of some of your favorite songs in our group chat. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, he knows his stuff. I reached out to you about doing this episode. So take us back. How and when did you become of Burt Bacharach's music so much so that you would have this kind of go-to playlist of favorite songs at the time that you heard about his passing?
This is such a cliche, and I hate cliches, but in this case it really is true. I can't remember not knowing Bacharach and David. And for me, obviously I know Bacharach went on after David, but for me, I mean, the prime material is Bacharach and David. But like, I literally, especially for this episode, I was trying to think, what's the first Bacharach and David song I know? And I can't parse it out from my memory, because you would think it would probably, the biggest hit when I was a kid was Naked Eyes with There's Always Something There to Remind Me. But yep. I knew that was a cover. So I would have had to have known that before. And like, just growing up at the time, the songs were all over the radio and TV variety shows. I think that plays into it. I'll be 55 this summer. I grew up in an age where variety shows were, you know, a plethora on TV. You know, you had everything. So I think a lot of the songs there I had heard, like I remember Dusty Springfield, Carpenters were all over the radio. And even though their only Bacharach hit was Close to You, still, I mean, that was just like a powerhouse. Like, I honestly don't remember a time that I didn't know about Bacharach and David.
Wow. I would have been, I mean, being younger, it was a little bit older than me, but I remember by that, I like hearing that name and just knowing that name was associated with songwriting and with popular music. But maybe when I was younger, it was like the adult contemporary music, of which I was kind of listening to at that time or what I was familiar with. I'm sure there was a time period where I got Burt Bacharach and Barry Manilow confused. Like, I heard their names and just interchanged them or something like that. Like, I would have said, oh yeah, Burt Bacharach, I'm ready to take a chance on love or something, again, or something like that. So I knew I got those confused, but it wasn't until I was in college or older when I really had more of an interest in studying kind of a little bit more history and the industry of music and kind of getting into this idea of like, well, who are those songwriters that you don't see them, you don't hear them directly. Obviously, there's the singer songwriter. We've got Bob Dylan that everybody knows about, you know, Bob Dylan, like those types, and the stars of their own bands, their own musical groups that might write their own stuff. But I was kind of thinking about, I was like, okay, well, if you got an Elton John, who is the Barry Taupin guy? Like, mm-hmm. like what is the place in that, and where else do we find these types of songwriters, and what is their place in the history? And like, honestly, like, when it comes to American pop music, in terms of just like the success and the wide swath of what they were capable of, like, I looked at Bacharach and David, and then for the music genre that I was much more fond of, for Motown, it would be mm-hmm. a comparison would be Holland, Dozier, and Holland,
the
songwriting trio that had 25 number one hits in a single decade. I mean, those guys are nuts, but like, other than those guys, like, I was just like there was like some about like this type of music, and yet for not being in front of the microphone as much, I was surprised at how well people were aware of him as the musician, as the composer. There was documented footage of him. He would be singing along or standing alongside Dionne Warwick or
Dusty Springfield, Barbara Streisand. Yes.
Sit on the couch next to Tom Jones and sing a verse of, you know, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, even if it wasn't like, even if he didn't have the thunderous voice, but like, there was just something, people knew him, people saw him, despite the fact that he wasn't the commanding presence of delivering the music to you. He was more of the background, but it was just this really interesting place that I can't think of another real contemporary or even, you know, a legacy, like a comparison to that.
And for me, I think it was a little bit easier getting in that way because I grew up definitely like loving and respecting and understanding Broadway. So you had mm-hmm. teams like Lerner and Lowe and Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
So then when, you know, like you transfer over to pop music, like you said, like I have it in my notes, Holland, Dozier, Holland, McCartney and Lennon.
Sure. Gamble,
who did the Philly soul stuff, and then much later you have like Stock Aitken Waterman, who did like the mm-hmm. 80s dance stuff with Dead or Alive.
Oh, even the Bee Gees. The Bee Gees that my brother and I talked about on one of our earlier episodes. Yeah.
Yeah, so like that singer songwriter producer, like that team, that's always fascinated me. And I know it's because I love to sing but can't sing. So if I'm gonna get into music, it's gonna be behind the stage. And that's why I think I gravitate towards David. When you say like Burt Bacharach being on TV, I can tell you exactly why he was on TV, because he is a drop-dead gorgeous, handsome man. Like, especially that 1960s look, like, oh my God, he very easily could have been a model. And for like someone that good looking to just have that musical background that actually makes his handsomeness second to his talents, that's amazing.
Yeah, no kidding, yeah. Like, growing up, like, or at no point, like, I never would have considered his music to be my music, but, yeah, the more I took the time and, like, just immersed myself, like, the sheer volume of what he was able to create over his lifetime, just, it knocked me back. And so, for that purpose, when I found out that he had passed, and you were interested in doing this episode, I was really encouraged and really excited to do a deep dive into more of his catalog and find a lot more surprises, actually, along the way. So folks, we're gonna kind of do what we usually do and trade off and each pick a handful of songs, that we're gonna talk about that are, penned or authored or composed in some way by Bacharach. I mentioned over on the Discord server that we were gonna be doing this episode, just kind of asking some of our fans in the community, hey, do you have a personal favorite Burt Bacharach song or something that you think about? Just a few of the examples that we got back, because I only asked for recently, but people mentioned Walk On by Dionne Warwick, Arthur's Theme, a couple people mentioned, just give it a couple minutes, I will address that, Anyone Who Had a Heart by Dionne Warwick, Any Day Now, Always Something There to Remind Me, and Say a Little Prayer for You. Yeah, a few of those we are going to address, yeah, well, as we talked about how many songs there are, we're not going to hit everything, yeah, should we dive into this?
We should. Right. Oh, actually, I thought I was going to save this until the end, but it actually is probably better starting off. Okay. If anybody gets an actual like CD or a playlist of like the hits of Bacharach and David, or actually just Bacharach, you're going to get the human experience. You're going to get happiness. You're going to get sadness. You're going to get love. You're going to get heartbreak. You're going to get hope. You're going to get despair. Like, just the sheer amount of different feelings that you get from these songs are amazing. And the hilarious thing is, for the most part, like, I'm an up, happy, boppy, you know, I love like a good, happy song. But for Bacharach and David, so many of these songs are like heart-wrenching, and I love it.
Well, considering how many of the songs were written for female singers, I mean, they right. have their ladies yep. reaching out with those voices, and yeah. it achieves greatness so often. Speaking of which, the first song that I'm going to kick us off with is The Look of Love by Dusty Springfield.
I can hardly wait to hold you, feel my arms around you. How long waited just to love you. Now that I've found you, you've got the look of love. It's on your face.
Alrighty, this one I was so excited to talk about this one just because the music, it lulls you in very perfectly. It's the smooth, jazzy. It has this bossa nova beat. Bacharach originally conceived it as an instrumental piece. The song was actually recorded without lyrics or vocals by the jazz composer Stan Getz. And then later after that, Hal David did add the lyrics. This song was made popular, as I'm sure everybody listening to this episode knows, in the 1967 James Bond spoof film Casino Royale. That is not the Daniel Craig version. This is the David Niven one with, but despite whatever the context of the movie is, the music, I feel, unironically taps into the style and the feel of those 60s Sean Connery James Bond films. I think this song works perfectly as a piece alongside the hits from Goldfinger, Thunderball, and You Only Live Twice. I would put it right up there. I never think of it as like, I never put it on my list of James Bond songs, but it should be. Like, even though it's like outside the canon, I think it perfectly kind of belongs there. I don't know. To me, this feels at home like with the John Barry theme for those early Bond films. This one was nominated for Best Song in the 1968 Academy Awards, and historically, according to Mike Myers, this was partially the inspiration for him to write the movie Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. As a personal note, I hear the music. It makes me think of a penthouse suite, champagne chilling on ice, dim lighting, sex, and a little bit of danger. And that's all the ingredients you need for James Bond. So
this is a perfect example of why Bacharach will last forever, because there is such a level of sophistication in this song. Like, it's so, I don't know that I want to say passionate, almost, because that's like too nice of a word, I think. Like it's just so sexy and seductive. And there's a line that says, let this just be the start of so many nights like this. Let's take a lover's vow and then seal it with a kiss. And I understand it probably is like the first time these people are together. But for whatever reason, I always just think of this as a song that like a couple who has been together for a while and then like uncovers some new aspect of their relationship, then adopt this song. And again, maybe I'm just bringing my experiences into this, but like I don't hear this as like a, you know, we're finally getting together for the first time song. I almost think like in my head canon, these people have had a physical relationship for a while, and now it's developed into something more.
They're seeing something new.
Yeah, and now this is like, wow, this – so like we've had relations before, but this is where our relationship starts.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
And it's amazing. Like you were talking about, it started out as an instrumental, and I actually didn't know that. But like in my notes, especially for like a vocalist – like Dusty Springfield, it amazed me that the last minute and 30 seconds of this song is all instrumental. And it's great because like every 30 seconds, you think that the vocal is going to kick in from that 1 minute and 30 seconds that the song has to end. Every 30 seconds, there's like an instrumental change where you think, oh, okay, the vocalist is going to come back in and, you know, finish it off. But in the best way, she doesn't. And it's so good.
Yeah. Alrighty. Move on.
We're not done.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So it's funny because the line is, let this just be the start of so many nights like this. But this song is probably going to be the start of where Ryan and I talk about like different versions. Mm-hmm. So he talked about The Look of Love from Dusty Springfield. And make no mistake, this is absolutely beautiful. I love it. I'm going to talk about talk a lot about a group called Deacon Blue. In the, I guess, 90s, they had an EP of four songs, all cover versions from Bacharach and David. And they do a cover version of The Look of Love. It's sung by a man, and it's fantastic because it is such like hushed tones. It's almost like a whisper. And I love that. It's funny. We talk about like my favorite version, and I guess technically my favorite version would be Deacon Blue, but man, Dusty Springfield's like if Deacon Blue is a 10, Dusty Springfield is a 9.9. like how do you even like pick which one is your favorite? Because like they're both just so good and they're both distinct.
Well, peeling back behind the curtain a little bit, a future episode of this podcast will be talking specifically about cover songs. And one of my arguments is that any song worth covering is worth doing something interesting with. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, especially if it's an all-time classic song, what is the point of redoing it unless you're going to bring something interesting to it, bring an original take, bring something personal, a unique kind of vision to the song? So when I listened to the Deacon Blue one, the fact that the gender inversion of the singer, I thought was a big deal. And that in and of itself kind of gave it a new kind of personality, a new voice, a new tone overall. And I just thought that in itself was really, really captivating to listen to a male singer go for this version.
It's always interesting when a different gender covers a song that's associated with a certain gender, because it definitely can bring like whole new interpretations and meanings and nuances to it.
What do you got next?
Okay, so the next one I have is 24 Hours from Tulsa, and this is by Gene Pitney.
I was only 24 hours from Tulsa, only one day away from your
And this really is kind of like the closest Bacharach and David get to like a country ballad. And I don't mean ballad in the terms of like a slow song, but I mean like a ballad that tells a story. This 3-minute song could be a Broadway musical. Because and I don't think this is one of the more well-known songs. When I started really collecting Bacharach and David, I would get every Bacharach and David collection I could. Even though, like, if it had 20 songs on the CD, I probably had 15 of them, but 5 of them were all new. So that's how I heard this. And it really is about a man who is going back to see his girlfriend. He's 24 hours away from Tulsa, where she lives, and he meets somebody new, and he forgets all about the girlfriend and goes with this new girl.
Like you said it could have been like a Broadway musical. I was like, this could have been any rom-com in the 90s. Like, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. I saw this. Like, the guy has he's on his way across the country to meet his fiance or to, like, get to the wedding or something like that. And, like, before he gets there, he has this random encounter with another woman, and it turns out, nope, this is the woman I was supposed to be with. I was one day away from your arms, but I found this other girl, and this is who I'm supposed to be with. I was like, yeah, this is no. I've seen this movie, even though I had never heard this song before until I saw it on your list. Like, this one was a blind spot to me. I did not know the song, never heard it, and like when I first listened to it, I was like, all right, this the chorus, that 24 hours from Tulsa, the way Gene is like hitting it, I'm like, all right, kind of a jarring melody. I'm not sure if I'm really getting, but as I dove into like the lyrics and found myself embraced in the narrative, I was like, this is funny. This is a great story. I love this. So yeah, this was a lot of fun.
It makes me think of the line, horrible people make for great songs. Because this guy is horrible. Like he's coming back to see his girlfriend, and oh, so what? I'm dancing with someone now, and now you're history, honey. And the thing is, like, so for the rest of the podcast, I'm sure I will lean heavily into lyrics from David. But I did want to point out, like, in this song, there are horns, like, throughout the song. But the great thing is, as the song progresses, the horns underneath the lyric get progressively faster. And I think that's supposed to mirror like the narrator's like excitement and thrill, because so especially the lyric is as we were dancing closely, and then like the horns speed up, and it says, and then I kissed her, caressed her, and then the horns like speed up really fast. I think it is supposed to emulate a heartbeat, and that is all Bacharach. Like, that is that musical underpinning of human emotion, feeling.
Yeah. And being able to change the sort of like the syncopation, the time structure, to feel that emotion, to feel that natural rhythm of, be it a heartbeat or some kind of cadence with the singer, that was just something that he was really good at and really known for.
Yeah. And I don't want to force the issue, but Ryan gave me a list of his songs. Ryan originally picked One Less Bell to Answer. I feel that's the other side of 24 Hours from Tulsa, because you're hearing from the person who was dumped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to talk about that further. But I think – so earlier we were talking about, that's how great these songs are, that both of us had, I don't know, like 10 different choices and then switched them up.
we didn't even effectively communicate how much we were pairing these down. But yeah. I like that song too, but I don't want to get lost too much into this one. Alrighty. Well, the next song that was actually on my list, and still, and again, this is one where we're going to talk about multiples, and we'll talk about original and the cover. But you mentioned it before already. Always Something There to Remind Me. I was starting this one off with the Naked Eyes version, just because that one was kind of the version that I discovered first contemporaneously. This one came out in 1982. It's a new wave synth pop cover. I was still young when the song came out, but I think it would have been my first Bacharach written radio hit that I could hear at the time. Now, I also have the most distinct impression of hearing this song in a commercial for either Burger King or McDonald's or something like that, a fast food restaurant chain.
Wow.
Can't tell you what it was. I just remember seeing a slow motion movement of a like a cheeseburger or something just turning on a spit with this song, always something there to remind me, playing behind it. And just like that image, it's never left me. And subsequently, anytime I hear the song, whichever version of the song I hear, it's usually the Naked Eyes version, but like if it's on a playlist or radio, I see that commercial and I get hungry. It's like a Pavlovian thing now, where I hear the song and I start to drool a little bit. I was like, I'm hungry. When's dinner?
This is another case where I grew up knowing and loving the Naked Eyes version. Mm-hmm. I think it's fantastic. You were saying earlier, if you are going to do a cover version, bring something new, different, unique. Don't make it karaoke. And they did exactly that. Because I think most people probably are familiar with this version. The chimes at the beginning, that dun, 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 yeah, dun, yeah. Dun, 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 that is their – like they brought that to this song. I love that. So I'm not great at describing – I love music, but I'm not great at describing it. So kind of like you'll have to listen to it. So the synth drums that are underneath the chorus. So when they sing always something there to remind – like yeah. There are synth drums and they hit it. That is also unique to this version. Now, if I am pressed, I do think that I enjoy the Sandy Shaw version. And again, it's one of those. Sandy Shaw is a 10, Naked Eyes is a 9.99999999 infinity. And given me and my personality, 80s synth pop, that's the one that I quote unquote should enjoy more. You were talking about like your cover version podcast that you're going to do. 80s synth pop cover versions of old songs. Oh my God, that could be a 12 episode podcast. But the original version from Sandy Shaw, it's so – it's – I don't want to say it's pared back because there's a full orchestra behind her. But her voice is so front and center. It's so unique. And the great part is when you listen to the Sandy Shaw version, at 1 minute and 46 seconds into it, the orchestra stops – drops out. And it's just like what I call like these stepping stones that like dun, 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 dun. And yeah. Then it like goes in.
Oh, how can I forget you when there is always something there to remind me? Always something there to remind me. I was born to love you, and I will never be free. You'll always be a part of me.
The other main difference is between Naked Eyes and Sandy Shaw. When Naked Eyes are doing Always Something There to Remind Me, it's a little bit more, I guess, kind of laid back. It's like, always something there to remind me.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus Sandy Shaw, always something there to remind me. Like they accent different syllables, which make hers, I think, more urgent, more upbeat.
That's the word I was going to think of. I was thinking hers. There's an urgency behind the Shaw version that I think goes to a little bit of the percussion behind that too, with the orchestra. Whereas the synth version is more casual, a little bit more laid back, maybe a little bit more nostalgic. Even
almost a little bit more like a loping.
Yeah.
Like if you're walking along the sidewalk and you're like at a slower pace, you would walk along with this song versus like a fast walker.
Yeah.
That would be the Sandy Shaw version.
Yeah.
The other thing I wonder, and I just thought of this now. So Naked Eyes came out like I'm horrible with years, maybe like 83, somewhere around there. And obviously I had never like dated or had relationships or anything like that. But when I had heard the Sandy Shaw version, then I did have relationships. I had relationships that, you know, I wanted to be in and the guy didn't. So, like, the lyrics, as shadows fall, I pass a small cafe where we would dance at night, and I can't help recalling how it felt to kiss and hold you tight. Like, as a little kid, well, not even a little, as a teenager, I didn't have that memory of having a memory of being with someone. Mm-hmm. And then you go there and you're there alone and they're not there. Oh my God. Like, it's just like beautifully heartbreaking.
But on the other hand, Burger King or McDonald's or whatever.
I am so glad I do not have that. I was going to say Bat Cousins because I'm on my other podcast. So listeners, please do not tag that in the comments section, because even
don't,
if you do,
don't ruin the song for Sean.
Tell us about your song. Like, if you have a better version of Always Something There to Remind Me, put that in the comments. But even if you put a tag for that ad in the comments, I'm not gonna watch it.
Don't ruin it for Sean. It's a sacrosanct song. All right, well, what's next?
Okay, so I think my choice is next. Oh, man, buckle in, because I am going to do A House Is Not a Home.
I'm not meant to live alone. Turn this house into a home. When I climb the stair and turn the key, oh, please be there still love with me.
So exactly what I said about, like, being in relationships and you bring that experience to the song. Oh my God, I just think this song is heartbreaking. I hope that you have never been in the situation that this person has been in, because they messed up. So when I was younger, I was much more casual or cruel with my, like, emotions and people, you know, being into me and liking me, and not respecting being in a relationship and what it can bring. And then you mess up, you fool around, you don't treat that person with respect. And then it comes back and you realize what a horrible mistake you make. So especially, like, those lyrics, I'm not meant to live alone, turn this house into a home. When I climb the stair and turn the key, please be there, still in love with me. Oh my God. Like, I hope no one ever has to have that emotion, because it is a horrible thing to go through. Now, luckily, Shirley Bassey, man, she brings that vocal bombast. So when I listen to this, I don't necessarily feel like I'm going to be about to cry, because, man, like, you know, you guys know Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston and all of those. Man, she is that times 10, because, like, her power vocals, holy moly.
And this is one of those songs that this is like, this is a knockout song for a female singer, for one of those divas. Like, this is one of those that you, like, that a woman wants to sing and wants to belt out and just nail this one. So there are loads of contenders for great versions of this song. But yeah, the Shirley Bassey one that you found, it's there's something special to it that's profound.
And then I think yours is next.
Next one, I'm going to go to one of the Dionne Warwick songs. And I somebody mentioned this in the comments in the Discord, and I think I tend to agree with it. Of all of the collaborators that he worked with consistently, I think Dionne Warwick was his best. Just like the whatever rapport they had, the amount of the material that they could turn out together was just so special. And the song that I'm going to go with is Don't Make Me Over.
Don't make me over. Now that I do anything for you, don't make me over. Now that you know how I adore you, don't pick on the things
do to love me with all my faults the way that I love you. I'm begging you, don't make me over.
I picked this one again. This was like a last-minute substitution. We were talking about this one. Like, I put this on my notes. I was like, all right, I got to take out the Fifth Dimension one for Don't Make Me Over. Because this one is my favorite Dionne Warwick song. And according to the legend, as I was looking this one up, Dionne had sung on the demo for the song Make It Easy on Yourself, expecting that that would be her first single. Mm-hmm. Instead, that song went to Jerry Butler. And allegedly, Dionne Warwick snapped at Burt and Hal and said something to the effect of "Don't make me over." She was like lashing at them for kind of for betraying her, and based on that line or something to it, the guys came around and apologetically wrote this song for her as an act of redemption, and it worked out because this one, released in 1962, became the first top 40 hit and top 5 U.S. R&B hit for Burt Bacharach, and it was indeed Dionne's first breakout hit. I love the doubling and layering of vocals after every other line, the way she does this in the beginning or in the chorus, the verses. Her vocals, just the calling out during the chorus, it's just a powerful song, and I this has always been something that I find very special to listen to.
You talked about the story with Jerry Butler, yeah. And so oftentimes PBS on Saturday nights, they always play like some kind of music special, and they're all good. They're all kind of like of this era, like the 60s, 70s. Sometimes they dip into the 80s. But there's a fantastic one about Burt Bacharach. Keep your eyes on your PBS station, or I'm not sure if it's on YouTube. If it's on YouTube, we'll add a link to it in the show notes. But yeah, that's where I first heard the story about Don't Make Me Over and what. Oh, and actually, now that I think about it, there is a Dionne Warwick documentary. I think it's on HBO Max. So they might talk about that here. But like all of that is great because you get Bacharach information. But yeah. And like this song is fantastic. And too, like this still stands the test of time. Like I said, you know, the human emotion that you'll get on a Bacharach collection. Like,
yeah.
like when you're with someone, you want them to be with you for you. Now again, like you know, you can have goals together. You can both want the other person to be the best version of themselves, but that's it. They have to be the best version of themselves, not someone else. And that is exactly what this song is. Accept me for what I am. Accept me for the things that I do.
All right, then take us to your next song on the list.
My next one is "Are You There with Another Girl." And actually, I don't know who did this originally. The first time I heard it was on the Deacon Blue cover EP, and I love it. And it's interesting because it's all about like suspicion and worry and panic, but the music is so upbeat and swelling, and the pace is fast. And it's one of those things. Part of the reason I think I love it is because, like, when I would get the Bacharach and David collections, I would hear these songs and I would be like, oh yeah, yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, I know that one. I remember that one from back years ago. But I don't remember this song other than hearing it for the first time in the 90s. So to have a quote unquote new Bacharach and David song that I'd never heard before, I love that feeling. Like I hope and pray that, you know, they're going through the vaults to release, you know, now that Burt Bacharach has passed away, you know, I hope that they will, you know, dig through the treasure trove and come out with new material that hasn't been released. This is probably a great time. There is a fantastic 3-disc collection called The Look of Love, the Burt Bacharach collection. And that, like if you're going to get anything, get that. Because it's three CDs. Like, each CD has, 27, 22, 26 songs. And there's a booklet. The first half of the booklet talks about Bacharach the Man. Then the second half goes song by song annotations and have stories about each of these songs. And it's fantastic. It's great.
There was a version by Dionne Warwick, but I'm not sure if that was the original version or if there was another single, another release that preceded it.
And it's so when we talk about Bacharach and what he brought musically, there's a line in Are You There With Another Girl called it says, "You would never leave me, hurt me, or deceive me." So each of the when she hits each of those leave me, hurt me, deceive me, the pace of the music goes up, which again, like I said, like the horns in 24 Hours mirrors the heartbeat. It increases that doubt, that you're second guessing the person that you're with. And like musically, that's what he does. Like all of his music choices mirror what that emotion in the song brings.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't familiar with Deacon Blue or the EP until you put it on the list. But once I listened to it, I really dig them as a group, and like the, yeah, just like the individual, the kind of unique voice and style that they bring with their approach to these songs. I think it has a lot of power to it. And yeah, just like their kind of grasp of these emotions, these human experiences, everything that you were kind of describing before. I think that, this is a good sounding covers.
What are you bringing next?
All right. Well, I think I'm up to my fourth song now, and this is really the only one that I cared about. So, this is among my favorites, though. I do have to mention this one. We are now talking about Arthur's theme, The Best That You Can Do, performed by Christopher Cross. The film Arthur, starring Dudley Moore and Liza Minnelli, is a top five all-time movie for me. In fact, Arthur and the aforementioned Roxanne are maybe my two favorite romantic comedies. I grew up watching this movie so many times. I just adored it. From the opening credits, I love the scene, I love the song. I always just considered it a Christopher Cross song. It never occurred to me. Well, I never saw like the soundtrack. I never like really looked at the album notes or anything like that. So I just thought of this as a Christopher Cross song. Never occurred to me that it was co-written with anybody else. But when we started prepping for the show and I'm reading through the list of all of Burt's hits and collaborations, I see he won an Oscar for this song. So at that point I was like, oh, okay, well, I know that I can talk. Sean can talk about 100 other songs, but I'm definitely going to be talking about this one. So, the songwriting for this one is actually shared by four people. Christopher Cross, the singer, Burt Bacharach, who composed the music, and then his wife and work partner at the time, Carol Bayer Sager, and also Liza Minnelli's ex-husband, Peter Allen, who had worked with Carol Bayer Sager too. Peter Allen gets credit for songwriting credit because apparently he wrote the line or came up with the line, "When you get caught between the moon and New York City." Mm. Now, if that's the only thing he ever came up with, and it's like songwriting, like, I don't know anything else about Peter Allen, but that's a really damn good line. Like, I mean, like if I was like working out a song and I was just like, hey, how about do something with this? When you get caught between the moon and New York City, the best you can do is fall in love. All right, I'm going to take lunch. You schmucks, finish the song. Like, I'm out of there. I'm retiring on that one. It's just, and I, like, I, like, even as a kid, I heard that line, and I didn't know exactly what it meant, but it felt full of romance and magic and promise. There was just something about that sensation, that idea, that you can get caught between a rock and a hard place, has all of this negative connotations, all of it, like this feelings of desperation and feeling trapped. Or you can get caught between the moon and New York City. It's the total opposite, full of options, full of promise. Anything can happen. And then just, following that lyric, the best that you can do is fall in love. I always love the idea of that. The song, just poetically, I love Chris Cross's voice. The vocals are wonderful. I can forever hear this song in the opening credits fading into the drunken laughter of Dudley Moore's character. With apologies to anybody who struggles with alcohol abuse and addiction, I recognize it is severe and it is serious, but I wish more drunk people acted like Arthur in this movie, just in general. I think the world would be a more special place. So the other thing is, like, between all of those other things, like, I've heard some people say that this doesn't really feel like a Christopher, or it doesn't feel like a Burt Bacharach song. And I was like, okay, I guess, but when I actually sat down and listened to it again, I was like, no, I still hear it. I hear it in the music. I hear it in the melodies. Some of those, the piano changes. I can hear those Burt Bacharach-isms that we've been talking about in the strings, in the music of this song.
When you're talking about, like, the lyric, when you get caught between the moon, and it's the perfect example. There are things you can say in a song that you cannot say in real life. And in a song, it works. And in real life, it never would. It's just the perfect example. Yeah, like, growing up, like, this song was all over radio. I mean, like, you heard this all the time that summer.
All righty. Take us away. What do we got next?
Okay, my next one is, one of the biggest songs from their catalog ever. I Say a Little Prayer. Technically, I am picking the Diana King version, which is the Love to Infinity remix, because it's a dance floor filler still all these years later. But the great thing, first of all, like, just the basis of the song is fantastic. So no matter who sings this song, it's wonderful. It's fantastic. There's a lot to go through here. Diana King, and actually her original version is actually a little bit more like a reggae version. And especially because, like, her version has that Jamaican patois, like the moment me wake up before me put on me makeup. And that adds something to it. So a side note with that, growing up, I used to watch Solid Gold all the time. And at the time, one of the hosts was Dionne Warwick. And when Boy George was on Solid Gold, the two of them sang I Say a Little Prayer. Wow. And the line, the moment I wake up before I put on my makeup, Boy George sang that song. And for years I thought, did I make that up? Am I lying about that? But I went on YouTube and I looked, and it's true. And, like, of course, he does a fantastic version.
Sure.
With her of this. And I don't know if this is one of those songs that's super well known or not well known, but this whole song, it's about someone who is thinking of their boyfriend, husband, partner, who is in the war. It was written for the Vietnam War, for the kids that were over there. And it's not necessarily like a protest song, but it definitely is, thinking about someone in a dangerous situation. The other thing I super, super love about this song, one thing with Bacharach and David is the songs are so relatable to you and your life and your situation. And of course, like, I think the most typical line of that is, I run for the bus, dear, while riding, I think of us, dear. I say a little prayer for you. And at work, I just take time. And all through my coffee break time.
That's perfect. Which,
that is perfect. Like, who in the... What other song has coffee break in it? And it means so much. Oh, my God. I just love this song.
Like, other than the song Coffee Break from How to Succeed in Business, the musical.
Like, and honestly, I have never heard like a bad version of this. You know, they sing it in My Best Friend's Wedding and on Glee, and I mean, I love this song.
It is a staple. It is just one of the all-time greats, and yeah, there's something like I particularly in terms of the musicality, like I love the. I'm not even sure how to describe, but there's like almost like a sped up double time part when it gets to the chorus again with the layering of the vocals. It's forever, forever, and ever, ever, you stay in my heart. And like that whole thing, just like with the background vocals kind of doubling up, it gives it the sense of speed and urgency and a faster pace that just changes it from the more casual vocal verses. And it's, yeah, just that constant change that just makes it a little bit more. It gives it a new hook, which just makes it more memorable, and that's why these songs stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty, then I believe I am up to my fifth and final song for this selection. And for the last one, I wanted to do something different. So I was reaching for something that was a little bit more modern and a little bit more contemporary, rather than some of the older hits that we've been covering over. And I found a collaboration between Burt and Elvis Costello. And this is the song, God Give Me Strength.
That song is sung in this bed.
I was looking for something a little bit newer, something that people might be less familiar with, so seeking out Burt's more modern work. He recorded this whole album with Elvis Costello in 1998. This album actually spun out of, they were writing and recording one song for the movie soundtrack. The movie was Grace of My Heart. And he has a song, this song is... Actually, it's lip-synced by Ileana Douglas, and I can't think of the name... Forgive me, I can't think of the name of the singer who does it in the film. But when they came back together for the album, Elvis Costello does the vocal track for this. And this one shocked me in how much it felt timeless, and how it felt like the way he brings in the horns and the piano after the chorus and everything like this. This felt like it could have come right out of Backrack and Hal David in 1963, in 1973, 1983. Like, this just could have come any time. It's just like, it felt like it was so much of a piece with, like, his work, but with Elvis Costello's contributions and everything. Like, it was like a capstone, like a thesis on so much of these emotions and the heartbreak and the sense of loss and pity that he has been writing about and singing for so many decades, that this just became this personal song of survival and personal triumph in the face of all of this. That I just adored it, and I love Elvis's vocals on this, but yeah, the two of them working together on this one, I was like, this is like an ultimate unseen gem that was just really, really special, and I liked this a lot.
Oh, Ryan, I have to say, like, I have to be honest, when you talk about this, I remember when this song came out in the 90s, how excited I was. You know, oh my God, new Burt Bacharach music. Oh, it's fantastic. And I listened to it, and right, like, from the very first time I heard this song, Oh my God, I hated it. I hated this song. It was, to me, this was like a funeral dirge.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
Oh my God, back. And I was so like scared. I'm like, oh my God, Bacharach, you've lost it. Like, cause so many artists, especially like popular artists, then have to like go down their own rabbit hole and prove that, you know, they're beyond pop music and that kind of stuff. And, you know, for years and years and years, I hated this. Up until there was a guy named Ryan Daly, and he wanted to do a podcast about Bacharach. So when I saw you pick this, I'm like, ugh. But I thought, well, you know what? Ryan picked this. I made a playlist of the songs so like I could listen to them. And I thought, you know, I'm going to get through it. And what helped me is I printed out the lyrics and I looked. And that definitely got me over that hump. And now I really like this song. Like originally, you know, it starts off slow and in my mind, I wrote it off and I should not have done that. I should have been more open. Like it brings like a weight and a power to the lyrics. Like the music is like, I should have listened to myself about like the scope of human emotion. Because like when Elvis sings like, when the phone doesn't ring and I'm lost in imagining, oh my God, that is like my life story. Like I can, like I am, like it's great that I have a fantastic imagination, but it can be horrible too, because then it, when I go down like dark paths, you know, I can kind of like dwell on horrible negative things. And that is exactly what that line is. And the other line I love is, maybe I was washed out like a lip print on his shirt. See, I'm only human. I want him to hurt. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Like, it's like doing this podcast has changed my mind about this song, because now I think it's great. And like when we talk about like the human emotion, the range of emotions with Bacharach songs, like that is right there with it. I mean, it's so powerful.
Well, in case you're lying just for my benefit and you do still hate the song, thank you. I appreciate you saying it.
I do really like it now.
All righty. Well, I think we're down to the last song, if you want to give us the last one. But before we get to that, I think you had a list of some of the bigger ones that we didn't address yet.
The songs that we didn't talk about are Magic Moments, Baby, It's You, Make It Easy on Yourself, I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself, Wives and Lovers, Wishing and Hoping, Alfie,
yeah,
This Guy's in Love with You, Promises, Promises, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, I'll Never Fall in Love Again, that came really close on my list, On My Own, and That's What Friends Are For. Those are the songs we're not talking about.
Okay, so Magic Moments, I think Clinton Robinson and I talked about that song on an episode of Soundtrack Selections. I think that's why I didn't talk about that one. I think I already covered that one, maybe. But yeah, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, and I was on my list once upon a time was What's New Pussycat by Tom Jones. We didn't get to either of those. So, and again, people, there's just so much. But one more notable exception, that'll be the last song for today. What do you got? What's the last on your list?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Do you know the way to San Jose? I've been away so long, I may go wrong and lose my way. Do you know the way to San Jose? I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. LA is a great big freeway. Stars that never were are parking cars and pumping gas.
Ryan, have you ever heard that LA is a great big freeway?
Somebody told me that, yeah.
It, of course, is Do You Know the Way to San Jose? Oh my God. Like, So it's a great, and you know the song. It's a great song. And even if you're only looking at it at the surface, you know, people go to L.A. and they become big stars. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. By the way, Bacharach and David also have a song called "Message to Michael," which is kind of about the same thing, but it's not quite as catchy. But so even if you look at it like that surface level, it is a fantastic, phenomenal song. But I mean, you can definitely look deeper into, like, so people go out to L.A. to become stars and it works out. It doesn't. But you can do that with anything in your life that you have lost. Like, do you know the way to San Jose? It's not about getting to that town. It's about getting to that place in your life that you want to be at. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. And like you, like in the good way, you live with what has happened in your life.
Mm-hmm. I lied earlier when I said "Don't Make Me Over" is my favorite Dionne Warwick song, because really it's it is this one. Yeah, this one is just so classic for having such a, again, like with like the more you like you flesh out about like Bacharach and like his approach and like the jazz influences, because so much of the structures of these sometimes takes these unorthodox turns in the way he's composing the songs, but also just like the musical, like 24 hours from Tulsa, do you know the way to San Jose, just like these weird kind of funny sounding song titles. Mm-hmm. But they work, they find a way to make it work. And yeah, the whole idea behind the song of just it sort of reminds me in a different way of one of my other favorite songs, which is "Midnight Train to Georgia," which is another kind of experience of heading out there, not finding what you need, not finding what you get or what you can, and having to kind of like retreat and fall back to a different place, a place like San Jose, where you can be more at home, more comfortable within yourself. And does the timing work out in your life? Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. But yeah.
And then definitely bringing it to like the musicianship of Bacharach. And what I'm about to say is not like a revelation at all. But I mean, I absolutely love the fact that when it says, "And all the stars that never were are parking cars and pumping gas," and then, you know, everything fades away, and then you hear like that thump 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 thump. Oh my god! I must have heard that 12,000 times, but every time that thump thump thump, oh my god, I love it. I just love that.
They know the earworm. They know how to get that earworm in there and to play around with it, man. You know, that twist the strings of your heart and make you feel that, and make you feel like you gotta move and you gotta dance. So, yeah, gosh. So folks, I mean, you just heard us go through some of our favorite songs by this legendary writer and composer. And you know, didn't even hit everything, but please, if you listen to this, if you liked it, what are some of the songs? What like memories or associations do you have? Does your love of Austin Powers come to originate with Burt Bacharach? Is that a thing? Trying to think of anything else to mention before we go, but
I will listen to every single song selection that people put in the comments. Absolutely. And especially if I've never heard it before, that's especially what I'm looking. That's the only reason I'm doing this podcast, because I want more and more Bacharach songs that I don't know about.
I only care about Arthur, so I'm just going to listen to that one again. But Sean, this was a whole lot of fun. I'm glad that you kind of inspired me to do this episode too, when you posted your list of these favorite songs, because I was like, yeah, this is not something I ever really would have thought about to talk about, the great songs of Mr. Barry Manilow. Burt Bacharach, right?
Well, and certainly the playlist that Ryan talks about, we can put that in the show notes, correct?
Yep, so, yeah, I will have a link to that. So.
Yeah. So that'll, and then you'll get even more, because I think there's maybe like 20, 24 songs on there. And I only, so 5 were on my list. I think I talked about 105.
All right, Sean, where else can people find you if they want to hear more from you in the podcastosphere?
On the first Wednesday of each month, you can hear my co-host Paul Keen and I talk about Batman Family in our Batman Family Reunion podcast. We talk about the stories, we talk about the ads, we talk about the letters pages, we talk about the food that we're bringing to the family reunion. And it really is a lot of fun, and I love doing it. And thank God for Paul, because he's the reason that podcast exists.
Fantastic, fantastic. All right. Thanks again for being my guest in this episode. And thank you, everybody out there, for listening to this one, too. Fire and Water Records is a proud part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Feedback for this show can be left at fireandwaterpodcast.com, as well as the Facebook page for Fire and Water Records. Special thanks to our Patreon supporters. For more information on how you can support the Fire and Water Podcast Network, visit patreon.com/FWPodcasts. All music clips and quoted lyrics are used for entertainment purposes. Please support the artists in their work by purchasing and downloading the songs legally. Thanks for listening, and please, please don't make me over.
At work, I just take time, and all through my coffee break time, I say a little prayer for you. Forever, forever, you stay in my heart, and I will love you forever and ever. We never will part. Oh, how I'll love you together, together. That's how it must be to live without you. Would only mean heartbreak for me.